The Samsung Galaxy Buds FE are the perfect partner for your smartphone. Stay immersed thanks to active noise cancellation with AI technology that filters out unwanted background noise. Listen to your audio in comfort hour after hour with the new wingtip design and easy touch controls that make changing settings a breeze. That's a lot to love for just £99 RRP. The new Galaxy Buds FE. Buy now at Samsung.com.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Wednesday, December 13th. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. Coming up on today's show, an Apple security vulnerability has allowed iPhone thieves to steal much more than the phone itself. Victims have lost their photos, passwords, even access to their bank accounts. Now, Apple is releasing a new setting designed to stop thieves from getting access to your digital life. WSJ personal tech columnist Nicole Nguyen joins us to discuss what the new setting protects and what it doesn't. Then, crypto exchange FTX recently marked 1 year in bankruptcy, and founder Sam Bankman-Fried has been convicted of fraud. But where does that leave customers who still have money or tokens on the platform? WSJ reporter Alexander Saidi joins us to talk about FTX's latest proposed plan to compensate customers and why some of them are against it. But first, Apple is launching a new iOS setting called Stolen Device Protection. It's designed to prevent iPhone thieves from taking over customers' accounts. The update follows WSJ's reporting on a nationwide wave of thefts involving iPhones and an Apple security vulnerability. The company started rolling out the setting to beta testers yesterday and plans to include it in a future software update. Here to tell us about it is WSJ personal tech columnist Nicole Nguyen. Nicole, what is Stolen Device Protection?
Stolen Device Protection is a setting that is rolling out to some early testers of iOS 17.3, but Apple is planning on releasing this feature more widely in the future. And it addresses some of the issues that my colleague Joanna Stern and I have reported on from earlier this year. So to back up a little bit, we've heard from hundreds of people throughout the year who have had their iPhone stolen, and the thief had watched them input their passcode either from afar or they shared their passcode with the thief inadvertently. And the passcode is the key to a lot of data on your phone, more than you might think. So for example, you can change your Apple ID password with just the passcode, and you don't need the previous password to do so. You just need the 4 or 6-digit simple string in order to take control of this account. In doing so, they could boot you out of every logged in device you have on another Apple device. They can turn off Find My, so you lose the ability to locate your device and remotely wipe it. They can also gain access to passwords that are stored in iCloud Keychain.
And how does this feature work?
So how it works is that the iPhone will recognize familiar locations. So say your home address or your work address. And when you're outside of those locations, if you have the setting turned on, you have to opt into it, then certain settings will lock down and you will no longer be able to use the passcode in order to change those settings. So one of those settings is being able to change your Apple ID password. So with stolen device protection, if you were outside of home and work and you wanted to change your Apple ID password, you would have to scan your face or scan your fingerprint, wait 1 hour. After that hour is up, scan your face or fingerprint again. Then would you be allowed to change the Apple ID password?
Are there any other elements of your sort of digital identity that stolen device protection protects?
You know, if you think about what is tied up on your iPhone to your Apple ID, it's your entire digital life. It's your photos, it's your files, it's your contacts. And so some of the victims that we spoke to, they lost everything, decades of images of their kids growing up, for example. And so if stolen device protection had been turned on for those victims, then the thief would not have been able to turn on what's called this recovery key, which makes it impossible for you to get back into your Apple ID, even with the associated phone number or email address.
What are some elements of your digital life that this new setting does not protect?
Apple Pay, which is the contactless credit card payment system built into your phone does not get extra protection. Also, if a thief has your passcode, then they have access to any app on your phone that doesn't have any additional protection. And so that includes Venmo, Cash App, some crypto apps. So if you do use Venmo or Cash App or Robinhood or Coinbase, I highly recommend going into security settings and adding an additional PIN. And obviously, the thief would be able to reset any accounts that could be reset through your email or text message. So if your phone is stolen, please act quickly. Go to iCloud.com/find and remotely wipe your device. And never, ever, ever share your passcode with anyone. And I also recommend that people set up an alphanumeric passcode with both letters and numbers to make it harder to snoop when you're in a public place.
That was WSJ personal tech columnist Nicole Nguyen. For more of your daily tech headlines, check out TNB Tech Minute. That's right here in the Tech News Briefing feed. Coming up, new managers at crypto exchange FTX have proposed a plan to compensate thousands of customers, but many of them aren't happy with it. We'll find out why after the break.
Hi, I'm Andy Serwer, Barron's Editor-at-Large. On my new podcast, At Barron's, I'm bringing you inside the C-suite for insights from today's top leaders in business, technology, finance, entertainment, and economics. Our guests will offer their unique insight into their companies and industries and the challenges and experience that made them the leaders they are today. Listen to new episodes of At Barron's every Thursday. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Crypto is rallying right now. Take Bitcoin. The world's biggest cryptocurrency has gone up about 14% this past month to around $42,000. But thousands, potentially millions, of crypto investors can't get in on the action because their tokens are trapped on FTX, the exchange founded by Sam Bankman-Fried, who was convicted of fraud last month. Now, as FTX's new managers navigate complicated bankruptcy negotiations, they're figuring out how to compensate their customers. Joining me now to explain what's going on is WSJ reporter Alexander Saidi. Alexander, what is going on here? What happened to customers' crypto on FTX?
A lot of people, millions of people, stored their crypto savings and regular dollar savings as well on FTX. And as we've come to learn over the last almost 13 months now, a large amount of customer savings were appropriated without their knowledge or consent and spent by executives like Sam Bankman-Fried and his close entourage. In aggregate, we did analysis of this back in October. Around $9 billion of customers' money went missing, and the company is still trying to figure out where it might have gone and how much of it they can recover. So a lot of the money is gone, but there is still some under FTX's control. That crypto has actually become increasingly valuable, especially in the last 3 months. Lots of cryptocurrencies have been surging and rallying, and in theory, that should be good for FTX and good for the customers. But what customers are actually learning is that the bankruptcy system has different ideas for how the gains from their leftover crypto should be distributed among the various creditors of FTX. And it means that the stuff that they thought was their property actually has become now the company's property.
How much are we actually talking about here?
At the time that FTX filed for bankruptcy, all the crypto it had under its possession, and again, this is like a mix of customer money, potentially some corporate money, was valued at just under $2 billion. As of right now, that figure is much closer to and now above $5 billion. So in theory, like these are really real appreciations and gains that could go to help make customers whole and partially will a little bit. But the reality is, FTX was an enterprise that functioned off of the theft of customer money. And as soon as that happened, in a way, customers permanently forfeited all title to their savings. And that's the truth they're learning now and something they are trying to fight against.
So customers are not going to get their crypto back. That's just a fact. Are they going to get something else instead?
Yes. So the company is proposing to pay them a cash settlement. They're saying, we're going to take your estimated account balance as of the day we filed for bankruptcy in November and look at the value in dollars of your crypto that was in the account then. And then based on however much money we find, we're going to pay you some percent of that amount. And they haven't said what the percent will be, if it's 50%, 75%, 25%. But the key point and what upsets a lot of customers is that they won't actually be getting any crypto back. So not only are people not going to actually get any of their assets back, the valuation of those assets is based at a time when prices were relatively depressed. And the law of bankruptcy more or less condones this type of activity, especially when FTX did not have separately managed accounts for each of its customers. They took everyone's money and just put it into a slush fund. So the company has said, we can't really untie the knot. We cannot understand how specific assets in the company's accounts got there or who they would belong to. So for them, this is the best way to try and treat everyone fairly, conform with the law, and come up with the solution.
So the decision is not final yet. FTX
is
still exploring some options.
They've said they're going to put forward a reorganization plan to the bankruptcy court in December. The way that works is if you're a creditor who's losing money, you have a right to vote yes or no on the entirety of the plan. So that's all going to happen next year. And that's why right now you see these customer groups forming together where they're saying, hey, we don't think this is fair. We think even if you can't directly give us back our stuff, you could at least compensate us somehow with the windfall that our property is responsible for. And in theory is going to now help pay lawyers, bankers, vendors owed money by FTX.
What did FTX say about this plan?
They've said that it's too difficult to untangle ultimate ownership of the commingled crypto that they still control. And they've really stuck with the idea that customers' crypto is now company property now that it's in bankruptcy. And they've gotten a judge to mostly agree with that line of thinking. The law and the forces of the law do appear to be on the company's side in this respect.
That was WSJ reporter Alexander Saidi. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang with supervising producer Catherine Millsop. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.